commence from there, James chapter 3. And in James 3, as we read, the chapter talks a lot about the tongue and the power of our words. And James 3, look at verse number 5 again. It says here, it says, even so the tongue, notice, is a little member, and it says, and boasteth great things. So when you think about your physical body, you know, your body has many parts. You know, you have feet, you have hands, and your hands have the ability of building great things. You know, mankind, with our hands, we can build great buildings, we can build vehicles. You know, our hands have a lot of power. You know, our hands can even slay people. We can even kill people. There's a lot of power in our hands. But here it says that the tongue, being just a little member, being a little part of our body, it says here, it says, it boasteth great things. You know, our tongue can talk a really big game. Notice what it says again in verse 5. It says, notice, behold, notice how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And when you think about a fire, you know, in California, there's many wildfires that often they burn thousands of acres. You know, often those fires, they're huge, but they begin very small. They begin with a little bit of fire. In the same way, our words, the words that we use, they may be little, but they have a lot of power. And the great matters of our life, it says, behold, how great a matter. When it comes to the conflicts we face with people, the conflicts we face maybe in a relationship or maybe with other people, whenever we fight or argue with people, whenever something becomes really big, a really big deal, often it comes from a few small words. Something that was small, that could have been insignificant, but because of our words, because of our tongue, something that should have been small, should have been minuscule, is now this great big ordeal. Why? Because of our tongue. Notice what it says in verse number 6. Notice the negative description that the Bible gives us of our tongue. It says, and the tongue is a fire. Notice, a world of iniquity. There's no end to the amount of sin and wickedness that can proceed out of somebody's mouth. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So we see that the tongue is described in a very negative way. You know, and oftentimes the matters of our life, the great conflicts, when we're battling with someone, when we find ourselves at odds with someone, and we make it a big, huge deal, when it should have been small, often it is our words, it is our tongue that gets something small to become this great, big ordeal. Notice what it says in verse number 7. It says, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, notice, and hath been tamed of mankind. And the Bible says that, you know, mankind has been able to tame great animals. You know, you go to the zoo and you see a whole bunch of wild animals that mankind has been able to tame. But notice what it says in verse 8. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. The Bible says that the tongue can no man tame. You know, all of us can attest to the fact that, you know, we've all said things we shouldn't have said. You know, all of us have come to a place when, you know, we're in the heat of the moment, you know, we're arguing with someone or fighting with someone, and, you know, we say things and we say it and we're like, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. You know, all of us have come to the place where we haven't controlled our tongue completely. You know, words slip, you know, we say things we shouldn't say, and all of us have, there's been times when you're upset, when you're in the flesh, you say things you know you shouldn't have said. It says the tongue can no man tame. Notice, it is an unruly evil. The word unruly means that it's wild or uncontrollable. And the word evil, it just means harmful. You know, our tongue can cause a lot of harm to people, can cause a lot of harm to our relationships. And oftentimes, it is our words, it is our tongue that gets us into trouble. And oftentimes, we think that things around us just happen to us without us doing anything, but often it's our words that get us into the trouble. It says, it is an unruly evil, notice, full of deadly poison. See, none of us have fully controlled our mouth. All of us have said things that we regret. Keep your place there in James 3. That's our text for tonight. But go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter number 21. And so tonight I'm preaching on the tongue. I'm preaching on the power of your words. You're going to Proverbs chapter number 21. Proverbs 21. See, all of us, we've all said things that we shouldn't say. We've all said things that maybe have gotten us into some trouble. See, that our mouths can get us into trouble, can it not? Proverbs 21, look at verse number 23. It says, whoso, in verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The Bible says, whoso can keep his mouth. The word keep means to guard it, means that you're protecting it. So if you're the person that you can guard or you can keep your mouth or your tongue, it says, you know, that person can keep his soul from trouble. You know, if you're a young person sitting here today, you know, a lesson that you can learn, young person, is that you need to learn to control your tongue. You need to learn to control your mouth. Look, people get in trouble at work, they end up getting fired at their job because they cannot control their mouth. You know, oftentimes, you know, people get divorced in this society. Over half of the marriages get divorced. Why? Because you have a man or a woman who just cannot control their mouth. They cannot control their tongue. They say things they shouldn't say, and something that should have been small is now this great big ordeal. But if you're able, young person, to control your tongue, to watch your mouth, to be in guard about the words that you say, look, this will help you to stay out of trouble. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Let's go to Proverbs 18, if you would, Proverbs 18. And look at verse number 21, Proverbs 18, 21. See, our tongue, though, yes, it is a little member, a small part of our body. Look, our tongue can destroy our lives. You know, the words that we say can ruin us. You know, and I wonder how many divorces could have been avoided had there been somebody who just watched their mouth, watched what they say. You know, how many relationships, you know, people often get in fights, you know, an adult with their adult parents. You know, there's children with their parents who don't even speak today because of the words that they've spoken in the past. You know, there's family drama because of the words that are thrown out there. You know, you throw words out there, and now there's this great big ordeal, this great big fire. Proverbs 18, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, notice in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, the Bible says that death and life, notice, they are in the power of the tongue. See, before there's a major war in the world, you know what there is? There's two people talking to each other. There's people going back and forth with words. Before the papers get signed for the divorce, there's a lot of arguing and words that go back and forth. Before you fight with your boss at your job, there's a lot of words that go back and forth. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you and I ought to realize that our tongue, our words, is something that you and I ought to guard. Be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you can learn to control your mouth, you will keep yourself from trouble, the Bible says here. So tonight I want to preach to you on the subject of the tongue. Go back to James 3. If we keep your place in Proverbs, we're going to be in Proverbs and in James for the sermon. But we'll go back to Proverbs 18. And I want to begin tonight by looking at the power of the tongue. Look, there is power in your words. And look, all of us, we got to realize that our tongues have the ability to destroy or to build the relationships in our lives. Look, you can be the person who can chooses to be the one who destroys the relationships that you are in, whether it's with your friends or your family or in your marriage or with your children. Look, you can be the person that destroys that relationship with your words. Or you can be the person who builds that relationship with the words that you say. Why? Because there is power in the tongue. James 3, look at verse number 6 again. I want you to notice the destructive force that your words can have. James 3, 6, it says, notice, and the tongue is a fire. You know, when you think of fire, what do you think of? You think of something being destroyed. You know, if we lit this building on fire, this building would be consumed. But in the same way, our words have the ability to destroy or to consume a relationship. The tongue is a fire, notice, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, notice, and setteth on fire the course of nature. Go to verse number 8. Look at verse 8. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. Notice what it says. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, poison is something that can actually kill you. You know, if you love someone, you're not going to serve them up a little cup of poison and say, hey, drink this, you know. But, you know, often our words, we don't think about it, but our words can be that poison that could actually damage that relationship. So you may be here, and you may be the husband or the wife that uses your words, but in reality, what you're doing is you're destroying that relationship with your words. You may be the parent that's sitting here that you try to discipline your kids over and over, but your words can cause you to destroy that child. See, our words can destroy the relationships in our lives. And how many relationships can be kept safe if people learn to keep their words, to guard their tongue, to watch their mouth? See, I hope that I can get to the end of my life where I can have a good relationship with my family, with my parents, with my relatives, with my friends, with my kids, with my spouse. But it comes down to us and using our words. See, our words can be used to destroy. Go back to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. See, your tongue has power. The words that you use, they have power. And there is power in your tongue, and your words can be used to destroy. Why? Because the tongue is a fire full of deadly poison. Proverbs 12, look at verse number 18. Proverbs 12. In verse number 18, the Bible says, Proverbs 12, 18, it says, there is that speaketh, notice, like the piercings of a sword. There is that speaketh. There are words that can come out of our mouth. It says that are like the piercing of a sword. And look, sometimes when we're arguing with people, when we find ourselves in conflict with someone, the words that we use sometimes, it says that they're like the piercing of a sword. You know, sometimes the reality is we say things just for the sake of hurting someone else. You know, if somebody hurts you, what do you want to do? You want to just lash out at them and make sure that they get hurt too. You know, when you find, and this is how some marriages are. Some couples, all they do is they argue, and you have one spouse who wants to just hurt the other spouse with their words. It's like you're just trying to pierce their soul. Why? Because there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Why would you want to try to hurt someone with your words? You know, or even a parent, you know, honestly, part of the reason I'm preaching this sermon is because, you know, as a parent, you know, as a dad, you know, us dads, we have short fuses. We have short tempers. You know, and when our kids can, you know, irritate us, they can do something wrong. You know, it's natural for a dad to just snap at their kids, to just yell at them and just talk down to them and discourage them with the words that we use. But see, our words, they have power and they can ruin their relationships in our lives. Why? Because the words that we use, sometimes we use them just to hurt somebody else. You know, if you have a friend and that they do you wrong, you know, the natural reaction is for you to want to just do wrong back to them. And there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. And you got to realize, look, that your words, they can ruin a relationship, the words that you use. So you got to be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth, because you don't want to be the person who says something just for the sake of hurting someone else. And oftentimes when we get in arguments, this is all we do. We seek to hurt. Go to Colossians 3, if you would, Colossians chapter number 3. Key place here in Proverbs, Colossians 3. See, our words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And our words can be used to destroy the relationships in our lives. And look, I hope that you would want to be here and be someone who has a good relationship with your family, has a good relationship with your friends, has a good relationship with people in church. But look, it's going to be done through you using the right words. And in Colossians 3, you know, I kind of talked about this, but this is talking to dads. You know, because dads, often we got to realize that our words, you know, we can discipline our kids to the point where we actually discourage them. And as dads, you know, and I'm really preaching this, you know, for me, because, you know, I sometimes find myself, you know, being hard on my kids because I get irritated, you know. But in Colossians 3, look at verse number 21, it says, fathers, in verse 21, provoke not your children to anger, notice, lest they be discouraged. You know, dads, we have a way, we have the ability to discourage our kids with our words. See, if we don't bring up our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you know, to nurture someone is to be mindful, is to be caring for them. But if, you know, if we're the parents who are just always negative on our kids, if they can't make a mistake or else we're going to just be on them like roughly and just sharply, and all we're trying to do is just hurt their soul and just be like the piercings of a sword and just talk down and negative, never admonish them, never help them, never edify them, then look, we're going to ruin their spirit. And we're going to cause them to be discouraged and to eventually grow up and hate us when they're older. You got to realize that our words have power and our words have effect. Go back to Proverbs, go to Proverbs 12 again, in Proverbs 12. So you got to realize that your words, they can be used to destroy. And I hope you want to be the person who is mindful of your words. Look, if you're a teenager, don't be the teenager who just talks back to your parents. Your parents do something you don't agree with and all you do is just, you throw out a piercing sword because you're angry at them, you just want to hurt them. Look, you're just going to ruin that relationship. You're like, why would you want to do that? Don't be ignorant of the words that come out of your mouth. Be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth. Proverbs 12. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, notice, there is, in verse 18 again, Proverbs 12, 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Notice, but the tongue of the wise is health. See, not only do our words have power in the sense that our words can be used to destroy a relationship, our words can also be used to edify a relationship. Our words can build the relationships around us. It says that the tongue of the wise, notice, is health. See, our tongue can be used to give health. You know, isn't that why we come to church? We come to church to hear edification, Amen. To hear the word of God, to hear preaching, to hear pastor preach to us the word, to edify us, to build us up. And how is it done? It's done through his words. You know, when you're going through a hard time, when you're discouraged and somebody comes along and encourages you, you know, it gives you health. It gives you life. It gives you spirit in your bones. And look, your words have a power to build someone. And look, your words have a power to edify the relationships in your lives. Go to Proverbs 15, if you would. Proverbs chapter 15. She knows that your words, they have power to build. And look, I hope you want to be the person that comes to church to try to build relationships. Not discourage or not try to harm relationships. See, the way you build relationships is that you use words to edify people, to help people, encouraging words. Not words that are meant to hurt or discourage, Proverbs 15, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, a wholesome tongue, notice, is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So when you're going to focus on the relationship to your life, realize that your words, they can build or they can break that relationship. And when you use good words, wholesome words, you got to realize that you can give health to that relationship. And so if there's a relationship that you're struggling with, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your kids, realize it may be the communication that is a little bit off. You may want to focus on using words that are meant to help that person, not tear them down. Because like, when we're in conflict with people, all we want to do is make sure that we're right and they're wrong. Make sure that we're in the right and that they know that we're in the right and that they know that they're in the wrong. But the goal ought to be to help build someone. Amen. And you got to realize that, you know, we got to put our pride aside sometimes and just use our words to help build people. And like, we don't always have to be right. You know, just use your words to edify someone and not just to tear people down. Go to Ephesians 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 4. Keep placing in Proverbs again, but go to Ephesians 4. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And look, you ought to use your words to help build people, not to tear people down, not to destroy people. Ephesians 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In verse 29, it says, notice what it says. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. See, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, God doesn't want us to talk about wickedness and filth and cursing and swearing. It says, notice, but that which is what? Which is good to the use of edifying, which is good to build people. Notice, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, so when it comes to, you know, for parents, for example, when our kids do wrong, look, we ought to discipline them and correct them. But look, but the goal is to edify. The goal is to build. Sometimes we think the goal is to actually just hurt them. Look, our goal is not to just hurt our kids for the sake of hurting our kids. Look, our goal is to edify and to build them up. But in the same way, like when you're fighting with your spouse, you got to realize that there's an underlying reason why you're fighting with your spouse. And the goal is not to make sure that you're right and they're wrong. The goal is not to make sure that you hurt them because they hurt you. No, the goal is to edify. The goal is to build up. And how many conflicts could be resolved if you would just be the person who puts aside your pride and just chooses to be the one to edify someone? And so realize, look, you're going to get in conflicts with people, but you know what? Use your words to help build relationships and not just to destroy them. Why? Because your words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And look, it's your choice. You can be the person who just spits out death, or you can be the person who gives out life with your tongue. The one who destroys a relationship, or the one who can help build your relationship. So you got to be mindful of yours. Go to Proverbs 15, if you would. Proverbs 15. There is power in your tongue. And look, not only that, but look, your words cannot only be used to destroy. Your words can also be used to edify. But look, your words can be used to pacify. Proverbs 15, look at verse number 1. Notice what it says. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The other is that your words have such power that your words can actually pacify anger. So if you find yourself in a place, you know, if you're a young person or a teenager, and you find yourself where your parents are just upset with you, realize, hey, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You gotta, in those times, young person, be the person who goes to his parents in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of obedience, and instead of lashing out with your words, why don't you realize that a soft answer turneth away wrath? Look, when your parents are upset with you or when you're doing something wrong, why don't you say, you know what, you're right, mom, or you're right, dad, or, you know, I'm going to obey you now. Give a soft answer and realize that then anger will go away. You know, or when you're fighting with your friends or your coworkers or even your boss, you got to realize that, hey, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So just be kind, be polite. And if it's somebody of authority, you say, you know what, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Or when you're fighting with your spouse, look, don't be the one who's just throwing back words just to make sure you're going to hurt them. No, use a soft answer. You know, be kind. You know, use some wisdom if you're fighting with your spouse and say, you know what, I'm going to use a soft answer to turn away that wrath. Proverbs 16, go to Proverbs chapter number 16. See, so your words have power. Your words can be used to pacify. But grievous words stir up anger. And look, you'd be foolish. And why do small matters become great big ordeals? It's because we use grievous words. And they just stir up anger. And we just get more angry because we just keep throwing out angry words for the reason of just hurting other people. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 24. The Bible says, pleasant words, notice, are as an honeycomb sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, the Bible says that pleasant words are what? Are as in honeycomb. Meaning they're sweet. It says sweet to the soul, notice, and health to the bones. See, now, I don't know about you, but I hope to be the person who, when people talk to me, they realize, hey, no, this person's sweet to my soul and health to my bones. You know, you ought to strive to be this person who uses pleasant words, who is able to use a soft answer, who when you open your mouth, you're able to edify someone else, and not just for the sake of destroying them, you're just going to destroy them. Why? Because your words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And look, you will save yourself a lot of heartache in your life, in your relationships, if you would just be mindful of controlling your tongue. Amen. Mindful of your words. Go back to James 3, if you would, James chapter number 3. So we see that there is power in the tongue. Your words can be used to destroy a relationship. Your words can be used to build a relationship. Your words can be used to pacify a relationship. And I wonder how many conflicts in life, how many conflicts in your own life could have been resolved with people had you been mindful of your words. Just be thoughtful of your words. Why? Because there is power in the tongue. But not only that, but there is persuasion in the tongue. There is persuasion in the tongue. James 3, look at verse number 8 again. It says, notice, but the tongue can no man tame. See, the Bible said that the tongue can no man tame. See, all of us are persuaded, we're all tempted to say the wrong thing. You know, somebody disses you, you want to diss them back. Somebody makes a jab at you, you want to make a jab at them back. Somebody yells at you, you just want to yell back. Look, all of us, we're all tempted to say the wrong thing. Like, it takes discipline to say the right thing. Can you replace it? Go to Psalm 52, Psalm chapter 52. There's persuasion in the tongue. Like, all of us are tempted to do evil with our tongue. All of us are tempted to hurt other people with our tongue, to say the wrong thing, to hurt someone else with our words. There is a persuasion in the tongue. Psalm 52, look at verse number 1. Psalm 52:1, the Bible says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Verse 2, it says, notice, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. Notice, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. The Bible says that the tongue deviseth mischief. Notice, like a sharp razor. That is meant to do one thing, which is to cut, which is to hurt. Notice verse 3, it says, thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words. You know, and as you read these verses, it looks like he's talking to a person, but notice what it says in verse 4. It says, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. I want you to notice that the tongue here tells us that all of us, we're all tempted to use our words, use our tongue in a negative way. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 3. It says, notice, thou lovest evil more than good. And look, isn't it true that the tongue, this is why you love the gossip. This is why you love the drama. This is why you love the tale-bearing. You love to hear the stories. You love to talk about things you shouldn't talk about. You love to get in other people's business. Why? Because thou lovest evil more than good. Look, it is natural for the tongue to want to know everything, to want to talk about everything, be involved in everything. But you know what? It's evil. It's hurtful. But our tongue loves the evil more than good. Notice, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. And look, it's true with kids. Because look, kids, nobody teaches. I didn't teach my kids to lie. I didn't pull my kid aside and say, hey, son, let me show you how to lie to people. No, our kids will naturally just lie. Why? Because it's natural to the tongue. We teach our kids to tell the truth. It takes discipline. And look, all kids lie. Don't think your kid is the one who doesn't lie. Look, all kids lie. If you think your kid doesn't lie, it's because you haven't caught him lying yet. But look, all kids lie. It is natural for a child to lie. It says, but notice, lovest thou evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Look, all of us were tempted to use our tongue in a negative way. Verse 4, it says, notice, thou lovest all devouring words. Words that are meant to consume people. Words that are meant to hurt people. Notice, oh, thou deceitful tongue. Look, all of us were all tempted to use our tongue in a bad way, in a hurtful way. That's why, look, it's natural that when you're fighting with someone that you just want to fight back. It's natural when they're yelling at you, you want to yell back. But does that mean that you should do it? No. Sometimes you got to realize that, look, you're tempted to sin, the Bible says. Go to Proverbs 10 again, Proverbs chapter 10. See, there's a persuasion of the tongue. Look, all of us, we're all tempted to use our tongue in an evil way. Proverbs 10, look at verse number 19. Proverbs 10:19. Notice what the Bible says. It says, in the multitude of words, Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, notice, there wanteth not sin. Like when you find someone who just talks uncontrollably and just talks and talks in the multitude of words, the Bible says that there wanteth or there lacketh not sin. But notice what it says, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, I realize, like, naturally, if you're just one who just talks and talks and talks, naturally, sin is going to come out of your mouth. Why? Because we're all sinners. Because naturally, the tongue wants to spew out evil more than good. Our tongue loves lying more than righteousness. So don't be the person who just uncontrollably, you just talk without thinking. In the multitude of words, there wanteth, there lacketh not sin. But notice, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, just because you're thinking something doesn't mean you gotta put that out of your mouth. Just because something's in your mind doesn't mean you need to tell people. And don't be the person who's like, well, if it's in my mind, I just speak my mind. Like, that is foolishness. That is actually undisciplined. Like, you gotta be the person who's disciplined enough to know that, say, not everything that goes into your brain needs to come out of your mouth. Why? Because in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And don't be the person who's just mindlessly talking and talking without even thinking about the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Go for you to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7. See, there's a persuasion of the tongue. Not only is it power, but like all of us who are tempted to say the wrong thing, say the evil thing, we love the evil more than good. And the truth is, like, all of us have come to the place where, you know what, we've all said things we regret. All of us have said things we know we shouldn't have said. And if that's the case, look, realize that if somebody says something that's wrong towards you, then look, sometimes you gotta be compassionate and realize, you know what, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they slipped up. Because look, all of us, we've all slipped with our mouths. We've all said things that we shouldn't say. Ecclesiastes 7, look at verse number 21. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21, the Bible says, notice, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. And here's some great wisdom from Solomon. It says, notice, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Notice, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Notice what it says in verse 22. It says, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. See, there's some wisdom that says, you know what? Take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Look, all of us, we've all had a bad day, right? Sometimes you come to church, you're discouraged, and somebody tries to encourage you, and you say the wrong thing, and you slip up. You know, you're at home, you're with your spouse. Look, realize that, like, your spouse is going to have a bad day. Your spouse is going to say things they shouldn't say. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. But the Bible here, it says, take no heed unto all words. Look, don't be the person that if somebody slips up in front of you, you got to just make it right. You got to just make sure that, hey, you did wrong. Look, realize that we all make mistakes. Words come out of our mouths that shouldn't come out. It says, take no heed unto all words. Why? Because thou thyself likewise has cursed others. Look, you've made mistakes. You've slipped up with the tongue. You've said the wrong thing. So you got to show show some compassion when somebody else slips up. You know, if somebody does something wrong and you have to deal with it, then deal with it. But you know what? Show some compassion and don't be the person who is just the talking police. You know, you just want to make sure that you can't say anything wrong around someone because, you know what, you're just going to make sure that they get it right. Look, take no heed unto all words. Look, you're going to have a bad day. I have a bad day. Look, I've said a thing. I'm sure today I said something I shouldn't have said. Sometime today. All of us, we say things we shouldn't say because we're sinners. Look at verse number 20. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, notice, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Look, all of us, we all make mistakes. We all slip up. And look, if you're someone who's fighting with your friends or your family members, realize that, you know what, they may say something hurtful, but show some compassion. You know what? Maybe they're upset. Maybe they're not happy. Realize they're hurting deep down and show some compassion with people. You know, this is how to take away some of the great matters of our life. When we find ourselves in big conflict because we just hang on to someone's every word, you know, sometimes you just got to let things go. Amen. People are going to say things, you know what? And it's okay. Just let it go. All of us have bad days. Go back to James 3, if you will, James chapter 3. So there is power in the tongue. There is persuasion in the tongue. All of us are tempted to say the wrong thing. But I want you to notice the publishing of the tongue. Because the truth is, the words that come out of your mouth, they actually reveal something about you. There is a publishing. There is something that shows us about you with the tongue or with your words. James 3, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, notice, therewith bless we God. Now, therewith meaning talking about the tongue. It says, with the tongue, blessed we God, even the Father, notice, and therewith, notice, cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And so, you know, our mouths have a way of, you know, coming to church, praising the Lord, singing the songs, singing the hymns, you know, edifying people. But then our mouths have the same ability to do what? To curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, notice, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. You know, is it right for us to have the mouth when we come to church and we praise the Lord, we say amen, we do what's right, we look the part, but then we go home and we curse men, or we go to our work and we curse men? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. You know, is that right? Well, notice what it says. It's in verse 10. It says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. See, it is not right to be the Christian, to be the person who, with your mouth, you play the part, you look the part, you speak the part when people are around, but then you go home and you curse men. You go home and there's not blessing, but there's cursing. The Bible says that's not right. It says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Verse 11, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And the answer is no. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Look, if you're going to use your words to praise the Lord as a Christian on Sunday mornings, then you know, use your words for the Lord all week long. Amen. Don't be the one who, in one part, you're blessing the Lord, you're blessing your brethren, but then you're also cursing men out there at the job. That's not right. Verse 13, and I want you to understand that your words, they reveal your heart. What comes out of your mouth is what's inside of you. Your words show us your heart. Verse 13, notice what it says. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And here's a good guy, right? It says, who is a wise man, somebody endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works, notice, with meekness of wisdom. Here we have someone who's a good person, somebody who is a wise man and endued with knowledge. Notice this in verse 14. It says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, it says, glory not and lie not against the truth. See, it says here, if you're someone who has bitter envying and strife, notice it says in your hearts. It says, don't boast about your works. Don't boast about your wisdom, about your knowledge, if you're someone who has bitter envying and strife in your hearts. And you see, why does it talk about the heart there? We'll go to Luke 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6. See, the words that come out of your mouth, they actually reveal your heart. And your words, they reveal something about you. The words that come out of your mouth. And we ought not to be the Christian who on one mouth, one end, we bless the Lord. And on the other end, we curse men. Luke 6, notice what it says in verse 45. Luke 6, 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Notice what it says, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. See, what's inside of you eventually comes out. Right. And there's something that is revealed about you if you're the person who you look like you're wise, it looks like you're endued with knowledge, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, guess what? That's going to come out. And guess what? The Bible says that's not right. Don't be the person who blesses God on one end, but then you're cursing on the other end here too. Why? Because your heart reveals, or your mouth reveals your heart. So look, when it comes to your walk with the Lord, your testimony in the world, you reveal something about yourself if you're the Christian who can go out there and you're just cursing and swearing. That says a lot about your heart. You know, that kind of shows your walk with the Lord. If you're comfortable to be the person who on one end you're blessing, but on the other end you're cursing, and you think it's okay, it says glory not, lie not against the truth. Don't lie to yourself and think it's right because you play the part, because you look like you have wisdom, because you look like you have knowledge. Don't be the person who on one end you're blessing, but then on the other end you're cursing. Is that right? Well, it says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. You got to be mindful. Realize that the words that you say, you know, they reveal a lot about you. And you don't want to be the person who, when you go to work and, you know, all the guys are just cursing and swearing and you're just right there with them. What does that tell them about your walk with the Lord? But you got to be the person who says, you know what? I'm not going to speak like that. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Amen. Even though pastor's not around, even though the church people aren't around, you know what? I'm still a Christian anyway. And it's not right to be like that. Go to James 1, if you would. James chapter 1. See, your heart shows your walk with the Lord. The words that come out of your mouth, they reveal your heart. The words that come out of your mouth, they reveal your walk with the Lord. There is a publishing of your tongue. James 1, look at verse number 26. James 1, 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious. Here we have someone that looks the part. If any man among you seem to be religious, notice, and bridleth not his tongue. The word bridle means to control. Somebody who just cannot control their tongue, but they seem religious. Notice what it says. It says, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So don't fool yourself, don't lie to yourself, and think you can do everything, think you can look the part, act the part, but then you don't control your tongue in the world. But then you're out there cursing and swearing. But then you're out there, you're just throwing words that are just meant to hurt people. The Bible says, look, don't deceive yourself. It says, this man's religion is vain. Look, the words that come out of your mouth, they show your walk with the Lord. They reveal your heart. It says, if you're religious, but you can't control your tongue, the Bible says, this, you're deceiving your own heart. You're lying to yourself. It says, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. Like, and I don't want to be the Christian who does everything, you know, and then, but God looks at me and says, you know what he's doing is just empty and pointless and meaningless because of the words that come out of my mouth. Like, that ought to tell you that, look, your words, they have a lot of power. And your words, they show men and the Lord your walk with the God. So you got to think about the words. You know, what do your words tell people about your walk with the Lord? You know, when you're fighting with your spouse, you know, and instead of being the Christian or the person who just lashes back at them and yells at them and tries to hurt them, why don't you be the person who just, you know what, use a soft answer, you know, and uses something to help them, to build them. You know, that will speak volumes about your walk with the Lord. But if you're the person who's just quick at the mouth, you just want to yell and curse and swear, you're not mindful, that shows, you know what, you're just walking in the flesh. So be the person who is spirit-filled, who can control their mouth. Why? Because, look, your tongue says a lot about you. So number one, we see that there is power in the tongue. There is persuasion of the tongue. There is a publishing of the tongue. And number four, go back to James 3, if you would. James chapter number 3. James 3. Lastly, I want to look at the perfection of the tongue. Because look, you and I, we are called to control our words. And there is a perfection of the tongue that the chapter here talks about. And you and I ought to get to the place where we can actually control the words that come out of our mouth. James 3, look at verse number 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. Notice what it says. If any man offend, not in word, the same is a perfect man. So he says you could find someone who doesn't offend. Meaning, what does it mean to offend? To offend means to cause to feel upset, annoyed, or resentful. It says if any man offend, not in word, it says the same is a perfect man. And obviously the word perfect doesn't mean sinless. The word perfect means that you're complete. It says, and able also, notice, to bridle the whole body. See, the Bible says that if you can control your mouth, control your tongue, then look, you have the ability to control your entire body, to tell your entire body what to do. It says, if any man offend not in the word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Notice it says in verse 3, it says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, notice, that they may obey us. And the idea is that, you know, we can control a big giant beast, and God wants us to control our own mouths. It says, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. See, God wants us to be able to tell our tongues what to say. Our mouths obey us. Our mouths listen to us. We control our mouths. And don't be the person who says, well, this is just how I am. Look, if you're the person who says, I just speak my mind, this is just who I am, this is just how I am, then look, you need to change. And you need to not be that person. You need to control your mouth, bridle your tongue. Don't be uncontrollable with your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't be mindless with your words and think it doesn't affect people, because it does. Look, there is power with the words that you say. Go to James 3, or look at verse number 17. And look, this is how you should speak in verse 17. Notice what it says. It says, but the wisdom that is from above, notice, is first pure. You know, the word pure is free of contamination. You know, what kind of words should come out of a Christian? Well, I think the Bible says here pure words. Pure. Notice what it says. Notice, then peaceable. You know, this ought to be, you know, when you're fighting with someone, when you're going through conflict with people, this ought to be the steps that you're going through. You know, my words better be pure. My words better be peaceable. I'm not seeking to just throw more fuel to the fire and make something small, this big, huge deal, because I just need to be right and I just need to hurt them. It says, then peaceable, notice, gentle. It says, and easy to be entreated, notice, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, when without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, notice, of them that make peace. You see, what kind of words should proceed out of our mouth? Well, first, they should be pure words. First, they should be peaceable words. First, you got to be gentle. You got to be easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them, notice, that make peace. And look, why is it so hard? Why is it easier for couples, for example, to get divorced after so much fighting? Because look, it's hardest to just make peace because there's too much pride involved and you just have to be right. But look, lay the pride aside and be the one who seeks peace. Be the one who is pure. And don't realize that your tongue naturally wants to say the wrong thing, naturally wants to curse, naturally wants to swear. But look, these things ought not so to be. First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Go to Matthew 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. See, there is a perfection of the tongue. You got to control your tongue. Control your words. And look, people who can't control their mouth, look, you know it gets you in trouble. You know, I grew up mouthing off to my parents, and it got me in a lot of trouble. You know, kids in school mouth off, you know, to their teachers, and obviously they get in trouble. You mouth off to the cops, guess what? You're going to get in trouble. When you just mouth off to your boss, you're probably going to get fired. Learn to control your mouth. And before you speak, you know, you got to ask yourself, you know, how would I want to be talked to? You know, before you address, you know, somebody else, you should ask yourself, how would I want them to talk to me? How would I want someone to address me? And, you know, we'd realize that, you know, if we want people to treat us right, to be respectful to us, to be kind to us, then maybe you got to show the same respect to other people. Matthew 7, look at verse number 12. It says, therefore all things, verse 12, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, notice, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Look, would you want people to be trying to hurt you, to be yelling at you, cursing at you? Then why would you do that to other people? You know, you should speak the way that you would want to be spoken to, you know, and realize that, look, there is power in your words. And if you cannot control your words, you will find yourself in a heap of trouble. So before you speak, just think about this. How would I want people to talk to me? You know, how would I want people to treat me? How does this sound to other people? Go, if you would, to Psalm 19, if you would, Psalm chapter 19. See, you and I are called to control our tongues. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Go to Psalm 19. You need to make sure that your mouth obeys you and don't just be mindless about the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Before you speak, you got to ask yourself, you know, how would you want to be spoken to? But before you speak, before you use your words, you got to ask yourself this thought-provoking question, oh Christian, how would Jesus want me to speak? I mean, does it matter to you what the Lord thinks about the words that come out of your mouth? You know, when you're fighting with your spouse, when you're fighting with your kids, when you're fighting with your relatives, with your friends, with a church member, ask yourself, Christian, you know, what would Jesus want me to do? Would Jesus want me to lash out or curse and swear and just try to hurt people? Or would he want me to edify and build and be gentle and be peaceful and be pure? Psalm 19, look at verse number 14. Notice what it says in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, notice, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, if you take the time to just think about the fact that you ought to make sure that your words are, notice, acceptable to the Lord. Look, if you do that in your life, look, that will cause you to slow down in your speech. That will cause you to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You would take your time and realize that you ought to be mindful of what comes out of your mouth. If you want to please the Lord, if you want your words to be acceptable to the Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, notice, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. So ask yourself this, you know, are your words acceptable to God? Like all of us, obviously, this is an area we all have to work on because we all slip up. We all make mistakes. All of us say the wrong things. Like we just need to be mindful of our words. Go to Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51, like verse number 15, Psalm 51, 15. Psalm 51, 15, and it says, O Lord, it says, notice, open thou my lips, and notice, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I like how the prayer of the psalmist is not, let me just say what I want, speak what I want. No, it's like, God, make sure that my words are acceptable to you. Make sure that when I speak to my kids, or when I speak to my friend, when I speak to my boss, when I speak to people I'm fighting with, even if you're in conflict with someone, you should make sure that your words are acceptable unto the Lord. It says, notice, O Lord, verse 15, open thou my lips. And what is that? That is you yielding your words to God and making sure that your words are pleasing unto the Lord. And look, obviously, look, we all make mistakes, but this is an area that all of us, myself included, this is something we all need to work on. Go to Colossians 3, if you would. Colossians 3. So we see that there is power in the tongue. Look, your words can destroy a relationship. There is power in the tongue. Your words can build a relationship. Your words can pacify a relationship. There is a persuasion. Look, all of us are tempted to say the wrong things. There is a publishing of the tongue. Look, your words reveal a lot about your walk with the Lord. There is a perfection of the tongue. You got to ask yourself when you speak, you know, how do you want people to talk to you? How would Jesus want you to speak when it comes to your words? Colossians 3, we'll end here in verse number 17. Colossians 3, 17, it says, notice, and whatsoever, notice, ye do, notice, in word or deed. It says, whatever you do in word, whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever you speak, it says, notice, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Look, our goal as Christians should be that everything we say and do, even in times of conflict, should be what should be pleasing to God. It says, whatever we do in word or deed, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And realize that sometimes the conflicts we get in life, these big ordeals, these big fires, we're fighting with people, they often start off very small. It's something that could have been avoided, but we use our words mindlessly. We use our words carelessly. We don't think about what we say. We just have to make sure that we're right, that we hurt them because they hurt us. But realize that all we're doing is just throwing fuel to the fire. And we could live a life free of troubles or with a lot less troubles if we learn to just do what? Just to guard our tongue. Be mindful of the words that come out of our mouth. And whatever we do in word or deed, it says do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, dear God. I thank you for your word and for our church, Lord. I just pray that you be with each one of us, God. Obviously, this is an area that all of us have to work on, Lord. And I just thank you for our church and the blessing that it is, God. I just pray that you be with our pastor tonight as he's away, Lord, and just give him safety, Lord, and protection, God. And I just thank you for the blessings you've given us, Lord. We love you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.